We're looking at and thinking about Mother's Day, and the title of our message is The Woman with an Open Heart. The Woman with an Open Heart. We celebrate today the very special day that has been set aside to honor our mothers. You know, some form of Mother's Day has been celebrated for thousands of years in the Greek and Roman culture. It's celebrated in many countries around the world. The United States version of modern Mother's Day was first celebrated in a Methodist church located in Grafton, West Virginia in 1908. It was a special project of Anna Jarvis to honor her mother, Ann Jarvis. She was a peace activist and cared for the wounded soldiers on both sides of the war during the American Civil War. Ann Jarvis died in 1905, and her daughter, Anna Jarvis, wanted to honor her. Now, realize that you, many of you, are women that will have special pain today. I've come to understand that. Through the years, as I pastored churches, you know, we did special things about giving awards to women, the most children present, the oldest mother, the youngest mother, the youngest child present. We went through all kinds of things just honoring mothers, and that's an important thing. But we need to understand that there are pain that is brought into the lives of people during this day. There are those whose mothers have died. There are those folks that have strained relationships with their mothers or with other family members. There are other mothers who are in pain today that are those mothers that are maybe in hospice care or struggling with debilitating conditions and diseases. Traditionally, churches have honored mothers in many special ways, and even that has caused pain. For instance, those mothers who have lost a child to death, or a mother who has lost a child to a lifestyle that are not appropriate, or mothers that do not have biological children. There are mothers who have experienced miscarriages and today still grieve over that loss. There are other mothers who have experienced abortions. There are stepmothers that are not considered to have had children, and even the children that they raised, or they don't make them mothers. There are mothers that have adopted children, and that place where they have cared for and raised up children, some people consider them not mothers because they didn't have a biological birth. Even as we celebrate, we have to understand that we must be sensitive to the hurt and pain of women that are experiencing those kind of things today. I remind all women that God loves and cares for you. I would remind you that our God loves you and He cares about you, and He has provided His Word, the Holy Spirit, and fellow believers to comfort and strengthen you. That's our task as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also forgiven those things that would separate us from us. He instructs us to forgive each other 70 times 7. And His forgiveness is unlimited. We can realize that if you do the numbers game that is in the Jewish culture, 70 times 7, you don't get to the end of. It just keeps going. We can still remove sin from our lives by asking Him to forgive us. And He tells us that He will separate our sin as far as the east is from the west. And He will put our sin in the depths of the sea. Now we know that those things that sink in the ocean, in those deepest parts, if they're not crushed, they can never be brought up. They're not going to come up. And He tells us that He puts our sin in a place where it will not come up again. He forgives us of that. We can rest in that comfort. We can rest in that care. Sometimes God changes our plans. We all develop plans for our lives and our families. And yet somehow as we work through those plans, we have not seen them come true. They've not come to fruition, and they've turned out differently than we expected or planned. Well, Paul and his band of missionaries were in Galatia, and their plans were to move into the province of Asia Minor. However, the Lord Jesus had a different plan, and he gave Paul a calling. The Lord always, always has a plan for you. Acts 16 tells us that while they were in Galatia one night, Paul was asleep, and he had a vision to go to Macedonia. The man in Macedonia was calling, "Come over and help us." Now, I pastored Providence Baptist Church in a community called Macedonia, South Carolina, just above Monk's Corner in Berkeley County. And I had that vision where they said, "Come help us," twice. We pastored and served that church twice. They wanted a third time, but I couldn't believe God would want that because he had moved me to Memphis to become the National Brotherhood Commission's disaster relief director. But as they prayed and God spoke, "Come to Macedonia," the next morning the missionaries got up and immediately started for Macedonia. From Troas to Philippi was about 150 miles. And from the area in Galatia where they were to Troas was about 200 miles. They did not debate it. In fact, if you look at the Greek, there is the idea that they got up and started immediately, quickly. It gives the sense of them running toward Macedonia, God's calling, God's direction for them. Now, I remind you, they were walking. Would you get up in the morning and start walking toward Mobile, Alabama, or Lexington, Kentucky, or Jacksonville, Florida? I wouldn't even start driving for them tomorrow morning, I tell you, the way it is. But Paul and his band got up and immediately responded to God's call upon their life. Paul had his plans radically changed by God. He was planning to go into Asia Minor. Someone has said if God had not called Paul to go to Macedonia, if he'd have gone into Macedonia, then the Far East would be Christian now, and the West, that's us, would be some pagan religion. But we're Christians today because it moved west instead of east. Paul and his missionary band were no strangers to the work and the call that God. They entered that strange land and met strangers. They worked in a difficult culture, and they were happy to be there. Look with me, Acts 16, verse 11. "From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city in the district of Macedonia, and we stayed in that city for several days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside to the gate by the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and we spoke to the women gathered there. A God-fearing woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to what Paul was saying. And after she and her household were baptized, she urged us, 'If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come stay at my house.' And she persuaded us." Now, when we look at this, we see a lady that had an open heart. Here's the case of the open heart. When they arrived, when Paul and his missionary band arrived, they looked for a synagogue. They were looking for the Jewish place of worship. That was Paul's custom. When he went to town, he went to Jews and he shared the gospel with them. Then they didn't accept it, then he went to the Gentiles. And that was a part of who he was. So he looked for a Jewish synagogue. There were none there. Philippi was the chief city in Macedonia. It was of a Roman colony and it was self-governing. It takes 10 Jewish household heads in order to establish a synagogue. And they were looking for that place on the Sabbath day where they could go inside and worship. They looked outside the city then for a place to worship because there was no place that would accept them in the city at that time. It was customary for Jewish people to go near water when they worshiped. Near water gave them the privilege of doing the ceremonial washing. It gave them opportunity. Paul looked for water because it gave him the opportunity to baptize people. But they were looking for synagogue. They didn't find it, went outside the city. And when they got there, Paul and his followers discovered a group of women there praying and worshiping and reciting Old Testament scriptures. A woman named Lydia was in that group. Now, we'll talk more about Lydia when we look at the church at Thyatira in Asia Minor, looking at the seven churches of Revelation. And it will be called the adulterous church. Thyatira was known for its purple dye, and it was used in very expensive garments. The garments were worn by royalty and wealthy people. Now, the indications were that Lydia was a very wealthy businesswoman and a seller of purple. She had a home that was large enough not only to house her family, but to house Paul's missionary band as well. Soon her home was where there was the new church at Philippi. That's where they started. Now we know that she believed in Jehovah. She believed in God. She had become a Jewish proselyte, and the men sat down and they started talking, and Lydia heard them talking, and the Lord opened her heart to the gospel. Now, I can tell you how many times I've gone into homes and I've been witnessing to a parent, and there'd be a child standing nearby, and when I brought them to the point of praying to receive Christ, the child would say, "I want to do that too." So they were listening as I shared the gospel. And there were times when I would go to see a child. And as I presented the gospel to the child, an adult would say, "I want to do that too." And so I have the opportunity to baptize both the parent and the child. Sometimes the family was baptized on a particular Sunday. It's just a warming thing to be a part of when that happens. Now, when you share the gospel, God opens hearts. He's willing and he's moving and he's working in people's lives. And if you're not careful, you will miss God's appointment for you to tell somebody else about Jesus. "Oh, I can't do that. Oh, they'll make fun of me. They won't hear me. They'll run me out." All those excuses come to our mind. And it prevents us from presenting the gospel. When you share the gospel, God opens hearts. But it may not be the person you're focused on. It may be somebody else that's nearby that God's working with. But Lydia believed and her household followed her. Now watch what happened. Lydia believed and was baptized. And the Bible says, so was her household. Lydia expressed her faith through baptism, and so did her family. Baptism is not a sacrament. Baptism does not save you, but being baptized because you are saved affirms to others what God is doing. God opens your heart, and you believe in Jesus as God's Son. He came to earth. He lived a sinless life. And he died on a cross. He was God's sacrifice for man's sin and was buried in a borrowed tomb. And he was resurrected the third day. And he ascended back to the Father. And there he awaits to the day that he is told, "Go get our children," when he gathers all believers to share eternity with them at the throne of grace. Oh, what a joy that's going to be. Well, baptism is a testimony of what has happened in your heart. You are saying that the old person is dead and buried, and now I rise to walk in a brand new life in dedication to the Lord Jesus. But look at the condition of the open heart. Notice Paul spoke to those that were gathered. We must understand that no one comes to faith in Christ until Jesus is proclaimed, until Jesus is told to them, until the story is shared. 1 Corinthians 1:13, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is the power of God to us who are being saved. Romans 10:14, now then, can they call upon whom they have not believed? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. We don't think of our feet as being pretty, do we? Unless you've got a foot fetish. But those of us normal people looking at our feet, we see the scars, we see the bruises, we see the deformities, we see where we've broken things on them. And so they're not pretty. But the idea being the foot that brings, the feet that brings somebody to share the gospel are pretty. Because remember, that culture, you would bow before people. And we would honor them because of what they've done and who they are in your life. Lydia was described as believing in God. God had prepared her for the message that Paul would share. And as Paul spoke, she heard, she believed in the words that he shared. And the desire to know God must be acted upon. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, Romans 10:13 says. Lydia also shows us that God does not force salvation upon us. We are free to accept or reject his offer of salvation. So be careful as you hear that message. Now, Lydia was saved because she wanted to be. She acted upon the desire to know and experience Christ in her lives. She heard the message, she believed it, she confessed Christ, and she gave her, and he gave her the privilege of becoming a child of God. We don't understand that. We can't conceive of what it is to become a child of God if you're not a believer. For those of us that have been accepted as children of God, we've been adopted and made one of his children. There is nothing like it. The privilege to talking to him, sharing with him. But notice the results of an open heart as well. Lydia expressed hospitality. When Lydia's heart was open, she showed hospitality to Paul and his band of missionaries. When her heart was open, she opened her home to the messengers of the gospel. In fact, she did not just offer her home. She insisted that they come and stay with their family in her home. True believers have a sincere desire to share and to help others. Jesus commands us to help others, and Lydia did. Now, as a result of an open heart, is faithfulness. Don't miss that. Faithfulness. Understand faithfulness grows out of faith, a trust, a belief, an understanding of Jesus is at work. And in his work and service, we will praise him with all that we have and all that we are. That's why it concerns me today when so many people that believe, so many people are part of churches do not attend and participate in praise and worship of God any more often than they do. I've told you that there is as many as 20 to 25% of the people that were in churches before COVID have deconstructed their faith. They've torn their faith apart. They've thrown their faith away and no longer go to church or serve God. We try to figure out why. How can you do that? Oh, Lydia identified with the apostles, and those that gathered to worship the Lord Jesus. She demonstrated her faith in a real and vibrant way by obeying the teachings of the Lord Jesus. The group stayed in her home a while. The community knew who she was and knew who the missionaries were. So it was not a light decision that she made. Lydia was faithful in the face of opposition as well. Even when the community rose up against the missionaries, she remained faithful. Paul freed the demon-possessed girl from an evil spirit, and the owners were furious. They were so upset because he cut into their profits. They made money off of that girl because of her visions and the things that she said and did. So they could no longer sell that. So they brought Paul and his band, especially Silas, before the community officials. They beat them, threw them in jail, and placed them in stocks. That night, at midnight, there was singing and praising of God in the midst of that persecution and pain. There was an earthquake. And all the locks on the doors and the stocks were opened. The jailer realized when he woke up what had happened. And he pulled his sword ready to kill himself. Because he knew that if he lived much longer, there was going to be a serious problem with the leaders of the community. And they would punish him for the escape. But Paul stopped him. No, do yourself no harm. We're all here. He ran in. And he fell before them, and he asked them what to do. He and his household were saved and baptized that night because he took them to his house, washed and cleaned, and cared for them. The next day, the town officials sent word to Paul and Silas to go and don't stay in the community anymore. Go in peace. Paul sent word back, "You beat a Roman citizen. Bring yourself down here and take us out and publicly release us and apologize to us just like you did when you punished us." The Bible says those Roman officials, Macedonian officials made a beeline to the jail, to the prison, and they apologized to them and took them out and released them. They just simply asked Paul and his band, "You guys leave town, please, okay?" Before Paul and his band left town, they went to Lydia's house and they met with the church and they said goodbye. Well, even after this terrible episode, Lydia was still associated and willing to be associated with the missionaries. Now, the ministry began with a woman with an open heart. That's important for us to know. The Father gives a faithful heart to serve others. A faithful heart will serve others. That's what mothers do, isn't it? They serve others. They take care of others. They invest in others. Lydia demonstrated her faithfulness in serving others. We know the church at Philippi began to grow in Lydia's house. And it wasn't long before it became known, important, and an instrument of God within that community. Her stamp, Lydia's stamp, was on the church because she opened her heart and began the response to the gospel that filled Philippi and went across Macedonia. Now, I want to ask you, is your heart open to God today? Can he come to you and direct your life in his service? Have you heard the gospel and responded to God's offer of forgiveness and eternal life? Have you acted upon your faith in Christ? Do you live such a life that your family, friend, and co-workers know and understand you are one of God's children? Does your life demonstrate that you're one of God's children? Do you need to accept his offer of eternal life today like Lydia did? Do you need to express your faith like Lydia did hers? Do you express your faith in real and tangible ways? Are you obedient to the teachings of Jesus? Is your heart open today? That's what we have to look at. After doing a study of some kind, one of the guys came to me and he said, "Do you realize how often you quote your dad?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You're always saying, 'My daddy said, my daddy did, my daddy would.'" And he said, I recognize that because I do that. You must have had a special daddy." Yeah, I did. Same thing with mama. We challenge each other all the time about how mama cooked and how mama played the organ and the piano, how mama was involved in church, how she was such a strong believer. And those things are important as we remember and reflect on them. Well, that's what we have to understand about Lydia. She became a woman that reflected what was happening in her life. She came to know God as Father and Jesus as Savior. And it makes all the difference in the world in how you live your life. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that we can come before you with praise and adoration for your love for us, for your power that you give us to represent you to a lost and dying world. So often we think to a pagan world, to a world that does not want to hear about you. Help us demonstrate you with our lives in such a way as we live before others that they'll want to know why we live like this and how we can live like this. And it will open the door for us to share the gospel with them. Call from us to decisions to make today that would be pleasing unto you, and that we can engage in your service and ministry and tell others about you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you've never believed in Jesus Christ, we want you to have that opportunity today. You confess him as Lord, and you can develop a personal relationship with him. Someone has said receiving Christ as Savior is as easy as the ABCs. You admit that you've sinned, for all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You believe Jesus Christ died for you. Yet to those that receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. That you confess Jesus as Lord of your life. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And then you dedicate yourself to him. You dedicate yourself to discipleship. That you learn about him. You understand him. And you want to know about him so you can live for him and tell others about him every day. That's the process of becoming a child of God. It's just that simple. It's too easy. It's too easy. No, that's the reality of the word. The Bible teaches us just that simple. Well, I did that, Mickey. Yeah, but are you still living like that? Maybe there's a need in your life for what we call the rededication, a renewal. We're talking about revitalizing Pinecrest Baptist Church. You can revitalize your relationship with God by simply coming in a time of renewal, rededication, and saying, "God, use me." And folks, as you look around us, we have to do that. That needs to be a regular thing that is a part of our lives because we slip and fall all the time. And I'm not just talking about stairs. I'm talking about the way we live. The things we say, the things that we do. Oh, it's so important that we renew ourselves regularly. But there's also a need for church membership. Church membership doesn't save you, but what it does is we answer the command of the Gospels where we become a part of a body of Christ. That we function together, that we're unified, that we're doing what God wants us to be. that's my desire for Pinecrest, that we have unity. That mean we're all going to be alike, or that we need to be alike, but it needs to be focused on God, what He wants, what He desires, what He teaches, what He wills for us to be and to do. You simply do that through baptism if you're not a believer. Make the decision to believe today. We will baptize you. If you're a member of another church, move your letter. Say, I want to be a part of this church. I want to represent God in this community and around people of us. I remind you that Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And folks, we will not get in unless Jesus tells God, this is one of ours. And then we can enter into the joys of your Lord. Come on in, be a part of it. That happens to me when I knock on doors and I'm introducing myself. And so many people say, come on in. And I get a cup of coffee or a glass of tea or a meal or a piece of cake or something. That's fellowship. That's the church does that. But we're going to do that in heaven as well. Being at the throne of God for all of eternity together with one another. Worshiping and praising a holy, righteous God. Maybe today, on Mother's Day in 2024, it needs to be a special day for you to relate to God. Maybe He needs to take the chains off today and allow you to worship and serve Him in a manner that is pleasing to Him. If God has spoken, you respond as we stand and sing, Rudy.